Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Monday, October 7th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on colon cancer risks.
Thanks, Ted. This research is truly eye-opening. It shows that folks with blood sugar levels above 126 mg/dL have a whopping 61 to 65% higher chance of getting colorectal cancer before hitting the big 50. That's not just a small bump. It's a major red flag we can't afford to ignore.
Hold your horses, Eric. Sure, those numbers sound scary, but we can't just...
Kate, come on now. This isn't some half-baked theory. The study adjusted for all sorts of factors. Age, race, family history, you name it. It's not just pulling numbers out of thin air.
But Eric, what about all the other stuff that affects our health? Diet, exercise, stress, the study didn't cover all that. We can't just pin everything on blood sugar.
You both raise interesting points. Let's take a step back for a moment. Eric, could you break down what prediabetes is for our listeners? Why is it important in this context?
Absolutely, Ted. Think of prediabetes as the yellow light before the red. Your blood sugar's higher than it should be, but not quite in diabetes territory yet. Here's the kicker. Around 100 million Americans are in this danger zone. That's a huge chunk of the population potentially at risk.
Oh, come on, Eric. That's just fear-mongering. Loads of people with prediabetes never end up with diabetes or cancer. We shouldn't be scared.
It's not about scaring people, Kate. It's about arming them with knowledge. When you know the risks, you can actually do something about it. That's empowering, not frightening.
But you're making it sound like blood sugar is the be-all and end-all. What about all the other factors? Environmental stuff, genetics. It's not that simple.
Of course, those things matter too, Kate, but this study shines a light on something concrete that people can actually control. It's actionable information.
You both make valid points. Let's dig a little deeper into the science. How exactly does high blood sugar increase cancer risk?
Great question, Ted. It's like giving cancer a free buffet. High blood sugar can damage DNA directly, helping bad cells multiply. It's also like premium fuel for cancer cells. They love glucose. Plus, it messes with the body's signaling systems, potentially helping cancer spread.
But that's oversimplifying things, Eric. Our bodies are complex systems.
I'm not reducing anything, Kate. I'm explaining the mechanisms the study uncovered. It's important to understand how this works.
Thank you both. Now, let's look at this in a broader context. Can you draw any parallels with past health discoveries?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of when they first linked smoking to lung cancer back in the 50s. At first, people were skeptical, but the evidence kept piling up until it was undeniable.
Come on, Eric, that's stretching it a bit. The smoking cancer link was way more direct.
Not at first, Kate. It took years of research to nail that down. When Dahl and Hill published their first study in 1950, plenty of people doubted it. This could be just as big.
But smoking is something you choose to do. Blood sugar is affected by all sorts of things, some we can't control. It's not the same ballgame.
True, but diet and exercise play a huge role in blood sugar, and those are choices we make every day. Just like we educated people about smoking risks, we need to spread the word about this.
Interesting comparison. Kate, do you see any historical parallels that might fit better?
Well, Ted, I'd say it's more like when they first started looking at cholesterol and heart disease. Early studies showed a link, but later on they found out it was way more complicated than they thought at first.
Fair point, Kate, but that doesn't mean this discovery isn't crucial. Even if it's just one piece of the puzzle, it's an important piece.
I'm not saying it's not important, Eric. I'm just saying we need to be careful about how we present this to the public. We don't want to cause unnecessary panic.
You both make compelling arguments. Now let's think about the bigger picture. How should we approach this new information from a public health standpoint?
I think we're going to see a major shift towards keeping a closer eye on blood sugar, especially in younger adults. We might even see changes in what kind of diet the experts recommend.
Whoa, slow down there, Eric. We need a lot more research before we start making big changes like that. We can't.
It's not about freaking people out, Kate. It's about giving them the tools to take care of themselves. Catching this stuff early could save lives.
But at what cost, Eric? If we focus too much on blood sugar, we might see more eating disorders or people getting medical treatments they don't really need.
The cost of doing nothing is way higher, Kate. With more and more young people getting colorectal cancer, we need to take every possible risk seriously.
I get that we need to take it seriously, but we can't lose sight of the big picture. Health is about more than just one number.
Both of you raise valid concerns. Let's look to the future. What do you think the next steps in research should be?
We need big, long-term studies that follow people's blood sugar and cancer rates over time. That could give us some rock-solid evidence.
I'd say we need to cast a wider net. Let's look at gut bacteria, environmental toxins, stress levels, the whole shebang. We need to see the forest, not just the trees.
Why not both, Kate? We can study blood sugar and all that other stuff, too. It's not like we have to choose one or the other.
Okay, that's fair, Eric. But we need to make sure the funding and attention are spread out evenly. We can't put all our eggs in one basket.
Thank you both for these insightful perspectives. It's clear that this discovery opens up many new avenues for research and discussion in our ongoing fight against early-onset colorectal cancer. Your expertise has shed light on the complexities of this issue and the importance of continued investigation. As we wrap up, I want to thank our guests, Eric and Kate, for their valuable contributions to this important conversation. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge health news and discussions on Listen 2.